Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, present CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine and eat.
Eat
places that
support
Sonoma County wine.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Do you know of any such places?
Yes, I know of at least 76 of them.
That's
across the U.S. and one in Mexico. I know. So, yeah, since you brought it up, Sonoma County Wine Growers recently announced a new award that we created called the Sonoma County Magnum Award, basically recognizing restaurants around the country, a lot, obviously, in our backyard here in Sonoma County that support Sonoma County wineries. So, either including Sonoma County wines by the glass or by the bottle, showcasing multiple AVAs or varietals.
And so fantastic.
They literally, because it's a Magnum Award, the restaurant gets a Magnum with the etching on it that it's the Sonoma County Magnum Award and that they are receiving that for supporting our local agriculture and our wineries here. And we actually have an ad that it might actually be out on newsstands now because it's the October issue of Food and Wine, which tends to come out in September sometime. And we put an ad in there with recognizing and honoring all the restaurants that made our first annual list. So
that's, very cool. I think there are many. Did you figure out like some of the ones across the U.S.?
Well, how did we create this list?
Well, I don't need to know all the details.
The gory details. Now, you kind of are curious, though. I think you do want all the details. That's kind of your style. That's kind of your style. We went out to winery partners and sort of asked, and a lot of the sommeliers and buyers who have joined us over the years here for different programming and education opportunities, and basically said, you know, if you think your list... If you're a winery partner and you have restaurants that you know really support you and support Sonoma County, let us know what those are. And then from the SOMs and buyers, kind of reached out to them and said, hey, if you're really supporting Sonoma County on your list, we'd love to know about it. And then Rachel Thralls on our team, who is a certified SOM, kind of went through and literally kind of vetted based on some of the criteria those lists. And we created the very first list. So I'm sure we missed some very important partners out there. So we'll catch you for year two.
So it will happen every year.
So this is the first annual, and hopefully folks are excited to stay on the list, and hopefully we'll be adding new, and you know, maybe at some point it's a double spread ad because we have so many restaurants we have to recognize. That would be the goal.
Well, I like it. I think, Spectator's always sort of recognized restaurants that do a great job with wine in general. And so I think, to narrow it down to Sonoma County specifically is a very useful service.
Yeah. Before I started, we had Sonoma County Wine Growers had kind of a Wine Star Awards, but it was really focused on local wineries, not as much wineries outside of, you know, Sonoma County. So it's nice to kind of build a broaden that and also give a shout out to our local partners.
All right.
There you go.
And they get a Magnum.
It's an empty Magnum, but it's a beautiful Magnum.
Okay. Well, they can fill it.
They can fill it with Sonoma County wine, for sure.
Okay. We will be back to talk more things Sonoma County wine on The Good Stuff. Join us on The Good Stuff, and today in studio we have Erica Larson and Hayden Purrier, both from Larson Family Winery. Thank you for joining us.
And husband-wife duo.
Just going to
throw that out there.
Yeah, well, that means the inevitable question's coming.
Yeah, like how'd you meet all that stuff? We're going to get to that, but I'm just saving them. You know how many times I have to be like, and this is my husband, before you speak poorly of either one of us, like, know the connection, or have an awkward moment, like, where someone's like, hey, babe, and you're like, that's super awkward if we were just professional.
Reference the living arrangements or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right, so everything's out in the open now.
Okay, good. All right.
We can start. So Erica is general manager. Hayden, you're the DTC manager of Larson Family Winery, but Larson, you've got the last name. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your family and how you ended up in the wine business.
Take us back to 1877, please.
Yes, please. We want to know everything.
My family's been in Sonoma and farming Sonoma since 1877. And then they bought the property in 1899, where the winery currently sits. Mm-hmm. And it was a livestock and cattle ranch. Oh, and many things since
like so
then.
Many places in Sonoma, right? It's something agriculture.
Exactly, yeah. And it actually also is a horse racing facility and the home to the Sonoma Rodeo from 1929 to the 1950s.
The Sonoma Rodeo. Mm-hmm. We need that back.
I know,
it's
I was thinking
fun.
The same thing.
Like, I've been trying.
Really?
I've been trying, but...
We get a lot of people asking if we're bringing the rodeo back, but
yeah.
a lot of liability there.
I have noticed that those kids sometimes now wear helmets, which, you know, like I would want my son to wear a helmet, but it probably takes away from some of the old timers' memories of rodeos. Mm-hmm. But do you still have the facility? Like, do you actually, or do you have horses or?
No, we don't have horses and we don't have the facility anymore, but a lot of the property, the buildings on it are original or have been there for a really long time, including the house we live in, which is also on the property from Captain Stofen built it.
Yeah, so Captain Stofen, so there's a ghost town actually at the end of our property about 3 miles behind if you keep driving back the county road there called Wingo. So it was originally
a ghost town.
A ghost town. It's a very cool little area back
Wingo.
There. Yeah, I've been back there a few times. There's a YouTube video on it if you got time.
Really?
It was originally known for a trading. So I've read stories that it's haunted. I don't know. I've been back there a few times, but I've never seen anything back there except some guys riding some bikes basically. But yeah, about 5 or 6 abandoned houses back there, a couple big barns, and a drawbridge. It's a very cool little area back there.
Really? A drawbridge.
Yeah.
So explain exactly where Larson family is, because it's just outside town of Sonoma.
So just outside of Sonoma. It's over in Shellville, if you know where Shellville is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's, just off Fremont over there. But
and so the drawbridge is what, to protect it from the bay, or what
so,
is that?
So they used to take a steamboat from San Francisco back to Wingo, back to Sonoma, back to San Francisco. So like I said, it was originally known for its trading, for its duck hunting. The steamboat was actually a ferry to ferry people around the area. And this was before Cars and Roads. This was in the 1800s. So once Cars and Roads were invented, it just became a ghost town. And Captain Stofen, who built the steam, drove the steamboat, built the captain's house in 1865, which is where me and my wife live now. So very old house, no AC, no heating. So this hot weekend was pretty interesting trying to go to sleep. But it's a cool little house.
Huh. Okay. So
I had no idea we had a ghost town in Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm. I think we must know more.
I know. I'm going to watch the YouTube video. Yeah. I'll have to look to that.
I think you don't want to walk there at night.
Right.
No, definitely not.
So the, like, there's still structures.
There's still structures. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So and then his brother also built another house just down the road. That's still standing. It's gotten a little bigger. My wife and I just bought the house back a couple months ago.
Oh my gosh! Congrats.
So it's back in the family name and everything. So yeah.
Amazing. So where are the Larsons from originally? Where are your roots?
Yeah, so the Millericks, which is my dad's mom's like side of the family, they're all Irish. So we came over, they came to Boston, and then they eventually made it out here. And then my mom's side of the family is Swedish. Oh. So, and then my dad's a little Swedish too, which is where Larson comes from.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, but so many questions to follow up on that. So the ghost town exists, there's a rodeo facility, and then when do grapes happen?
So the grapes are, the first vineyard is planted in 1978, so that's our Chardonnay vineyard. It sits right there in front of the tasting room.
Okay.
Right now the property is about 101 acres, and 77 of which are covered by vineyards. Mm-hmm. So we're in the AVA, the American Viticulture Area of Carneros. So we're known for our Chardonnay and our Pinot Noir. Basically, it just has to do with the elevation, the soil, the climate. They're very thin-skinned grapes, so they thrive in more mild climate. So we get really cold nights out there, thankfully, since it's very hot in our house. So they just tend to thrive out there a little bit better. And we also grow Albarino, Gewurztraminer, Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio, and Cab. Yeah, and then we've got Malbec across the street, too.
Hmm. So who planted, who wanted to plant wine grapes? Was it your dad or grandparents?
So it was my dad, and he ended up planting them with his dad, and I think his sisters and brother, they all helped kind of pitched in, but he ended up going to Davis for fermentation science. That was a long time ago. I don't even think they have that major anymore. So he was really interested in that. Before that, he was a blackjack dealer in Las Vegas.
Okay, what?
So I know, so he's kind of had a crazy career, but he said he always was really interested in wine and beer and, you know, the science behind making it. So he had the perfect property in his family that wasn't really being utilized at the time. So he's like, Dad, can we plant some grapes? And his dad was like, sure, that's your project. You do it. And he ended up doing that. And then he got so interested in it, taking classes at the Santa Rosa JC, Napa JC, just for fun while still working full time. And then he ended up applying to Davis and going to Davis, but also still working at the family ranch. So
okay, but in 1977, I mean, there really wasn't much planted in Carneros, I gotta think.
Yeah. No, there wasn't.
That's kind of a big vision for
him. Yeah. So, but he had the land. They had the land, and he was like, "Nothing's happening here, so let's try it and see how it goes."
Did he start with Chardonnay and Pinot?
He did. He started with Chardonnay, originally. That was his first
fortuitous
wine love
as well.
Yeah, I mean, and smart. Mm-hmm. I mean,
To have that sort of fit already, because as we know, there were like Cabernet grapes planted in the Russian River at some point, and like that doesn't work so well with the climate.
I want to know about the blackjack.
I know, I was going to say, but let's go back. let's go back. 1970s
Vegas.
Yeah.
Where did he work? Which casino? Or did he bounce around?
I think he bounced around, but I think the MGM. He originally was in Reno because he had a cousin that lived up there that had a bar or something. And then he eventually made his way down to Vegas, back to Reno, back to Sonoma.
Is he really good at reading people? Like, can he tell, like, what they're going to do
like
before they do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. Maybe that's
more pressure than blackjack.
She's like, that explains so much. I've never thought about that.
Does he win everything? Is he always, you know, get the last
word on
everything?
Welcome to Larson family. Yeah.
Okay, so that's, the blackjack dealing taught him, like, the house always wins.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay, so at what point could he quit doing that? I mean, he was growing grapes, so selling the grapes at first, was there wine in the scenario after he graduated from Davis? Like, what was the kind of trajectory?
Yeah, so he was doing that. He ended up quitting and coming back to Sonoma probably in like 1975. So before he ended up planting the grapes. Mm-hmm. And then, he was just doing it as a hobby originally. Ooh. It wasn't like something that he was wanting to do forever or, you know, a career. But then he really loved it and he was like, I can actually make a career out of this. I can do this. So he ended up doing that. And then we have our motto. Originally, the wine was just for family consumption, family and friends. And then we have the motto, we drink what we can and sell the rest, because he ended up making way too much that we had to they couldn't all drink. So
was your mom on the scene at that point? Like, was...
No, she was not around at the beginning, but she came in the 1980s, like late 80s, I think, and she's the one that kind of had the vision for the tasting room, actually marketing it, not the production side. But she's built the whole brand pretty much of Larson Family Winery. And my dad too. Makes the wine, but
so he was growing the grapes, he was making the wine, and then your mom comes in and, like, you know, puts a vision around it.
Exactly.
What was this first vintage? What year? Ooh. For Larson Family itself.
Oh, for Larson Family, originally we were Sonoma Creek Winery, and that was in 1987, our first crush. So, and then I guess Larson Family was 2003, I think, when they started the Larson Family Winery brand.
So why did the name change? Why, what happened there?
Originally, Sonoma Creek Winery, it was a really large production, like mass scale. Yeah. They were doing a lot of cases, distributing nationwide. And then eventually they just wanted to focus a little bit more on making estate wines and not the mass production, and focusing on more DTC driven instead of going to Costco and the wholesale market.
Basically, they had twins and had to reel it in a little bit.
Yeah. So.
Okay, yeah, here's the backstory.
Yeah, the family story. Right. And there's the, that's
amazing. Okay, so are you one of the twins?
No, I have two younger brothers. They're 25, and they both work for the winery as well.
But. Okay, so when it was just you, everything was manageable, but then they come along and, like,
well, they're boys.
Yes.
A little harder.
They're boys. Okay.
Well, but I want to talk about, like, growing up. So what, I mean, you're growing up on this vineyard. There's a ghost town behind you somewhere. Rodeo, pre-rodeo, post-rodeo. like, so what was the role? I mean, did you know you wanted to go into the wine business? What was the role? Were you drinking, getting to try wine as a kid? Like, what was your experience growing up? Like, some early memories.
Yeah, I remember trying wine pretty young, but I remember thinking it was so gross and didn't like the taste or the smell. But yeah, growing up, it was just pretty, like, I always thought that's how everyone grew up, and everyone, like, was able to just run around all the time and be free. I always say that, like, the tasting room staff and the cellar staff, they kind of were, like, our nannies, and they actually were our nannies at one point. So they kind of, like, just raised us, and we were always just bopping around, and I was in charge of my brothers, but we just roamed the property and, like, but yeah, the wine stuff, I always knew I wanted to be involved in it. Ever since I was probably like 15. I knew that I'd go away, but then I wanted to come back and be involved in the family business.
I love that.
And so was your family living there full time? And so you grew up in Sonoma, essentially.
Yeah, grew up in Sonoma. The house I ended up growing up in was, it's probably like a 3-minute drive from the winery, so it wasn't far at all. It's just right on Broadway, so... not far, but we were at the winery every single day. And
But you must have known a lot of other, you know, kids your age that had families that maybe were growing grapes or making wine.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was normal. I was like, oh, this is like how everyone grows up. We're all just living this like beautiful time. And but yeah, no. So I always knew I love the wine community. I think it's so special and so different than so many other industries. So I always knew that I wanted to be a part of it.
Okay, but Hayden, meanwhile,
what's your story?
Is growing up in, you're in Tennessee this whole time?
Yeah, so I was born in Nashville, Tennessee. I actually just moved out here just over 4 years ago now, and I didn't know a thing about wine. When I first moved here, it was Jack Daniel's my baby bottle growing up, and Coors Light growing up. I remember one time she sent me wine when I was living in Tennessee, and I texted her and asked if she'd ever put Sprite in her wine and how good it was, and she told me never to tell her parents that because I'd never be allowed to move there. I didn't know a thing about wine before I moved here, but I've worked multiple harvests now. I work production. I was a taste room server. I was a taste room manager. Now I'm DTC manager, so I've gotten to work the whole aspect of the wine industry. It's been very cool. I'm working on my wine-focused MBA right now at Sonoma State, so I'm almost done with that. I've got 2 semesters left, so it's been very cool learning about the wine industry. It's so cool how the wine industry works with each other and how we're all friends, and I can text other taster managers at other places and see how they're doing and ask for advice and stuff like that. So I've had a very good cast around me, basically, to help me to grow in the wine industry.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, how'd you meet?
Yeah, so...
how did you get wine sent to you in Tennessee?
Erica was in Nashville for her 21st birthday, and I was just out at the bars, and one of her friends came up to us and asked if we could pretend to be their boyfriends because they had some creepy guys talking to them. So I just walked up to Erica and I said, I guess you're my girlfriend for the night, and...
and I was like, who are you?
A couple days later, I bought a plane ticket out to California. I'd never been on a flight before, never been to California, and lied to my parents about what I was doing, where I was going. And now I ship my mom wine all the time. She's cool with it. She understands. So it worked out.
Wow. So what, like, we're going to have to take a break in a minute here, but there's so much to unpack now with this. Because I want to know how you choose Nashville. I mean, what a decision. That's where you're going to go spend your birthday and... mm-hmm. Here you are, married.
That's a popular decision, but I want to know more about the creepy guys. Like,
I didn't think they were that creepy, but
and now we thank them.
They were creepier than the guy who came up and said, "You're my girlfriend."
Yeah, right? I think that would be the creepy part. But
I think so. Yeah. Yes. Okay, but we will take a quick break because we need to talk a lot more about this on the good stuff. On the good stuff with our guests, Erica Larson and Hayden Puryear from Larson Family Winery. And
We were in Nashville.
We were in Nashville
when we took a break.
At a bar, reliving how you both met. And then, so you said you had to tell, you couldn't tell your parents that you were coming out to California. Why was that?
Well, I don't know how much they approve of me just the next, a few days later after I meet this girl, going out to California for a little bit. So I told him I was going with a friend who... it's not uncommon for him to back out of things, which is what he did. So originally, it was the truth.
Okay.
And then it turned out I just didn't tell him the full story. So,
All right. Hopefully, they won't listen to this. Or maybe now they know.
They know now.
Wait, so I want to know, though, because I love the meat stories, as Virginia will say. So, yes. I mean, so he comes up. He says, I'm pretending I'm your boyfriend or you're my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Save you from creepy guys who you might not have thought were creepy. So this could have ended up completely different story. And then how do you go from there for, like, a couple days later, you're getting on a plane? So, like...
You know, I mean, I can't remember the full story, but we hung out the next night again. And then went to some bars that night, and I just kind of know, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was graduating college at the time. I wanted to go to a different place for a little bit. So I went out to California and hung out with her for a few days. She took me up to Tahoe and all the cool touristy stuff. So, yeah, it was something different for sure.
Did any of your other friends meet anyone that trip?
No, they just all had boyfriends.
Oh, so you were. Well, that works. That works very well.
Yeah, so, but we met his friends, and they're all really great people, so still friends with them today. Yeah,
oh, that's nice. That's really nice. But, okay, so what? So you were getting ready to graduate college. Mm-hmm. What did you study?
My degree in finance and accounting. So before I moved to Tennessee or to California, I was the accountant at Pearl Drums. I don't know if you know Pearl Drums, but that's their headquarters over in Nashville. So I was doing that for a while. I had the opportunity to go play professional soccer in Australia, so I went and did that for a little bit too. And
By the way,
I was going to slide that in at some point during that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
I mean, that's super long distance. So we stayed in touch, but that's, you know, I was gone for 7 months, and then I purposely scheduled a layover in San Francisco on the way home, and we went and got coffee, and kind of started dating from there. And then she moved to Tennessee right before COVID hit, so we were stuck in an apartment together for a year and a half, and
figured it out.
You know, you kind of know after that for a little bit.
Here you are, so that went okay.
Yeah, so that went all right.
Yeah.
Then I moved here June 1st, 2021, and then we got married August 5th,
2023.
Okay.
Wow. So playing soccer in Australia,
mm-hmm.
not Australian rules. You played.
Soccer. Yeah.
And then that was it? You didn't want to keep going, or?
I knew that I really just wanted to do it for one season and travel for a little bit. So I played my full season, and you know, I didn't have much money when I moved there, but Australia's very expensive. So it's not like even if I had the choice to stay longer, it was just expensive.
Yeah.
So I had to get a flight home and start working again. But yeah, I was doing a lot of odd jobs in Australia during that time. I mean, some of the craziest stuff. I'm so used to in Tennessee, I'll just go pick up any snake I see. I still do it out here in California,
but don't do that in Australia.
Chased one, and then 5 feet away, backed off because I realized it was a king brown. But
All right, so
snakes.
Okay, so you're both living in Tennessee and surviving through COVID. Is that kind of when you start talking about let's go back to California? Or Erica, were your parents saying, when are you coming back to California to run things? Like, how did that all happen?
Yes, definitely. So my dad, he was very vocal about me coming back to California and helping him run the businesses and all that stuff. So I think it was 2021 is when he really was like, okay, it's time. I need your help back here. Get back here. Like, I'm going to have to hire someone else to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess.
This job offer expires at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was working in corporate America, and it was fine, but I didn't love it. You know, it's like going to your job every day. Had to deal with customers who are not very happy most of the time. I dealt with, like, repossession, people in a finance company, so it wasn't very fun. I didn't like it, but I knew that I liked the winery and stuff, and I knew Hayden would be so great at it. He actually never had a customer service or like hospitality job before the winery, and he's amazing with people and loves it. And I was like, yeah, let's go back, let's go, come on. So we ended up coming back here, and I think I always talked to him about how I always wanted to go back to California and be part of the winery and the wine industry. So,
yeah.
Now we're here.
Okay. And but your brothers are involved, you had said.
Yes. So,
but they were not the heirs apparent, it sounds like.
Oh, no. They're still very involved. But, I mean, at the time, they were 20, 21. Mm-hmm. So no 21-year-old is fully ready to commit to their career yet,
anything,
right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, no, they're both really involved, helping out wherever, kind of like me and Hayden, we have to help out wherever we can. One works in the cellar pretty frequently. The other one's doing a lot of the farming practices with my dad and learning the viticulture side of it.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great to have multiple people doing multiple things.
Exactly.
So, Hayden, what does your family think now? Like, you're in this fancy wine business compared to, you know, the Jack Daniels and the beer.
I also have a twin sister, so yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
got that too. But I have an older sister and I send them wine all the time, obviously. So I mean, they think it's super cool that I work in the wine industry now. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, definitely, especially when I'm not an owner per se, I guess. I mean, technically if I'm married into the family, but it's you have a job description, it's much past that.
Yes.
And it's a 24/7 job and it's a lot of work. And my favorite saying out in that the winery is, it takes a lot of good beer to make a good wine.
Yeah.
And it just shows how much hard work it actually is involved into making mm-hmm. wine. People see the face of the winery, think that's an amazing view, and they just don't know the actual, you know, they don't know how hard harvest is or how hard production is or how hard wine strategies are. And it's a lot of work, and it was a new thing for me to learn, but it's been a ton of fun.
So tell us a little bit about what you do make. I mean, how many wines? Do you still sell grapes, or are you just really focused on your own estate?
So yeah, we do quite a few different varietals. We have multiple, probably 8 different white wines or something like that. Most of all have gold medals. We do probably 8 different red wines, a couple rosés. We do sparkling wines too, which is not super common. Makes inventory a lot of fun doing all these different SKUs. And,
right.
We do a lot of different wines. My favorites out there are Pinot Grigio, Albarino, Sauvignon Blanc is a huge mm-hmm. one right now. We grow a great Pinot Noir. We do a lot of, our winemaker's awesome. His name's Shane Ryan. He actually used to work at the tasting room as a server, where he met his wife while he was serving wine. And then he was also the co-winemaker at the time. And then he went over to Benzinger for a little bit, mm-hmm. and he just came back maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Super cool guy, though. Yeah, love Shane.
And so you have a production facility on site, or are you making the wine somewhere else?
Yeah, we do everything on site.
Okay.
So vineyards, production, bottling, tasting room.
One of the cool things about Larson is we do everything from grape to glass. So we've cut out the middleman completely. So we have our own vineyard management company called Sonoma Creek Land and Farming. So we manage our own vineyards, harvest it. We also do it for other wineries. Mm-hmm. We have our own winemaker, so we don't have to do custom crush. And we have our own mobile bottling company called Ultimate Mobile Bottling. So we have 5 different trucks.
Wow.
And that's what Erica does, is she's the GM over there, and she does kind of just runs that entire company. But yeah, it's super cool. That stuff is all way above my head. I just get paid to sell the wine, but it's so cool, all the mechanical engineering that goes into these trucks. And yeah, it's a cool business.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, very integrated.
Yeah,
I had no idea. Well, and you've got multiple labels.
Do have multiple labels,
so maybe talk just a little bit about those.
Yeah, so we have our Larson Family Winery label, which is more of our premium wines. Mm-hmm. Our Millerick Road label is the next step, which is also, we've got a ton of gold medals on those Millerick Road labels. Just a different style, basically, when it comes to the Millerick Road, like a stainless steel Chardonnay or California Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our 3-Lab Cab, which has been our bestseller for like 20 years now. I've got 3 labs on the property. Right now, our yellow lab is Gus. He just turned 2 and he lives with us. He just bounces off the walls and just a ball of energy.
Gus, that's a great name.
Anything
Happy
he
dog.
Sees.
Yep.
And then Roscoe's our chocolate lab. He's a big fella now, but he's pretty pretty well known for taking food from in the tasting room.
But
put a collar on him that says "Do not feed," and he lost 30 pounds. And then our black
amazing.
Lab is named Louis. And funny story about his name: Erica wanted a Louis Vuitton black handbag for graduation, got a black dog named Louis V instead. So.
Typical wine style.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes, very funny. Okay, we have to take another quick break. We will be right back on the good stuff. on the good stuff, talking all things Larson Family Wine. And so we were talking about
and
the rocks.
And Roscoe, Louie, and Gus.
I know,
specifically.
Roscoe. I know. And you have to get
Why
this
Why
aren't
bottle. They not here? Come on.
I know. Oh, we are done.
That would be a mission.
We're done. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Yeah, towing three labs with me on the way here. Yeah.
Poor Roscoe, though. I had to lose 30 pounds. I
know. He looks good right now.
Yeah.
He looks
He's still
really
over
good.
100 pounds. So he has like another 10 to 20.
So you literally
lose.
Just put like a sign on him, do not feed.
It's a collar. Mm-hmm. Just says it's do not feed on it. Yeah. I've had to clean up so many trash cans from him knocking it over. And yeah,
oh, they are always hungry. It's
he's
crazy.
On a diet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a challenge. So that's your best selling wine. Mm-hmm. What else? You had also brought a Pinot Noir, which is mm-hmm. one of your mm-hmm. favorite wines. Erica, tell us about that one.
Yeah. So the Pinot Noir, it's our Larson Pinot. It's really good. Honestly, it's an easy drinking wine, but it's really complex still. So I would say, like, people that aren't super familiar with wine still like it, but we still have the wine somms and wine connoisseurs that are mm-hmm. still loving it. And it's from our property, and it's actually from Erica's Vineyard.
Oh,
so that's why I also
Wait,
love it.
I was going to say, did you like it so much that now it's named that, or did you, it was named that and now you kind of fall in love because you're also like, this is my namesake?
No, so since I'm the oldest, uh-huh. I'm the only one that has a vineyard named after them. Yeah. So yeah, it's actually pretty much our whole property.
That's
Erica's
awesome.
Vineyard.
I've been pushing hard for Hayden's Vineyard, but it hasn't worked out.
Yeah,
yeah, this specific vintage of Pinot that won a double gold medal in best in class, so y'all are going to enjoy
nice.
It. Yeah.
Do you at least get a row?
No,
just,
I mean,
just
row,
a vine
right?
row. Like, we're like, this is my vine. It's very magical.
If I go pick it all
we
myself and
we
name it after me.
Yeah, I think you should at least get something. I mean, like, the labs get a whole bottle,
yeah.
like, label. Come on.
They do have to share, though. I mean,
yeah, that's
you know,
true.
I'm sure Roscoe would like to have his own.
Oh, yeah. He'd fit a whole entire label on him just
yeah. just to fit him. Yeah, that's true. Especially with 30 more pounds on him.
Yeah.
So how can people experience your wines? They can come visit? You're in charge of hospitality.
Yeah.
So, like, what do people get to come and do?
So we're open Thursday through Monday from 11 to 5. We do four different flights. So we do an Enter First Rodeo flight, which is more of a beginner's flight, but it's got a few of our best sellers, like the Three Lab Cab on it and a couple
Enter
more.
Your First Rodeo? Is that what you just
ain't
called?
Our first rodeo.
Ain't your first
yeah,
rodeo. Okay, I was like, wait,
rodeo.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then we have an all-whites flight. We have an all-reds flight. That is exactly what they sound like. Yep. And then our gold buckle flight is all of our gold medal winning wines. And we change up the flights pretty regularly just to give, you know, you come back a few weeks later, you want to try something else. I don't know if we talk price points on here, but
doesn't matter.
So it's a very reasonable. It's $35 or $45. It's very reasonable, especially when you're in wine country.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting great gold medal winning wines. You got a great view. We've got a super friendly staff. We're all very good friends with each other. We play golf together all the time. So it's a very cool environment.
Yeah.
It's family friendly. It's dog friendly. We do live music pretty often. Try to keep That's it entertaining cool. for everyone,
yeah.
for sure.
And I'm reading like bocce, cabana tasting.
We've got cabanas. Like... Bocce is a big one. People love playing bocce out there. We've got cornhole set up just for people to come play. I think what the wine industry needs now is a little bit more flexibility, more casualness. You go out there and you drink wine and play cornhole or something like that. So it's kind of just a little bit more laid
Whole
back.
Experience. Yeah. That sounds really fun. I love dog friendly, family friendly.
That's one of the best parts of the job is the dogs. Yeah.
I get asked that all the time. Where can I bring my kids or where can I bring my dogs? Mm-hmm. So that's great. Add that to the list.
Yeah, right.
I know. Definitely.
And can they just pop in or do they need to make an appointment?
Either way, yeah, we'll always take you no matter what. We'll definitely make room for you. So, yeah, we've got a few events coming up, too, that I'm super excited about.
What's going on?
So we've got our pumpkin patch, which will be the entire month of October.
Wow.
So we've always got a big area set up where you can go pick your pumpkins, and we're growing our own pumpkins this year.
Nice.
First year doing it. And then second year, last year it kind of got ruined. The neighboring cows got into our property and stomped all over the garden. So didn't turn out like we wanted last year.
Welcome to agriculture.
Yeah,
huh?
Right.
There you go.
They wanted to eat those pumpkins.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then at the end of October is my favorite event every year is our canine costume contest. So
no, stop it.
Yeah. Last year, so we always have judges. There's prizes for first, second, third place. Last year we had about 40 to 50 dogs come in. And the costumes are so creative. I would never imagine doing anything
oh my gosh.
Like any of them. It's so awesome seeing the different costumes that come in. It's super cute. And then,
so do Roscoe, Louie, and Gus, like, do they theme costumes so the three of them are themed out together? Or
it's
do
a good
they
idea.
Like Three Stooges? Yeah, like Three Stooges.
Three Stooges would work perfect for these guys.
Yeah.
Beavis, Butthead.
I don't know. Yeah, seriously.
I love that. Okay, that's...
That's really fun. So who are the judges?
So it's different judges every year. Still working on it this year. Robin Sebastiani is one of our judges this year. I don't know if you'll know Robin, but she's the president of SVVGA, Sonoma Valley Vendors and Growers Association. We had a few judges last year, and then I got to work on the judges this year. It's probably my to-do list. So I'll come out with that soon enough.
That's awesome. Fantastic. So do they like parade across, or is it kind of like secret voting, or how does that work?
So they all get in a line. That's the hardest part is getting in alphabetical order. That's my job. And then I announce them one by one. They parade around the taste room. They come right past the judges who have a score sheet, and they get scored on their costumes, and then do one more final parade just for everyone to see. And yeah, it's a lot of people come. They don't even bring their dog. They come just for the contest. Yeah. It's just so much fun to watch.
Do the owners dress with the dogs?
Like, a lot of the time they do.
I had a feeling. That is awesome.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us today on The Good Stuff. It was really fun to hear your stories. LarsonFamilyWinery.com. Is that how people best find everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And go to the Instagram at Larson.Family.Winery.
Go to that dog costume party.
I'm like highly recommend.
I think I might be there. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Well,
thank you.
Krissa, I think today's good stuff had it all.
It was good stuff. Yeah. I know. There's a love story, a rodeo.
Yeah, ghost town.
Ghost town.
Labs.
Nashville.
International sports.
Yeah.
Stardom.
Like, we covered it literally. Who would have thought? All of those things.
That's why you have to bring people in and talk to them and ask them. Little things come out.
I know.
I think the dog costume contest is happening for us. I think we should do a live session.
Oh, a live session.
Or maybe we should volunteer to be judges.
I was actually going to offer you up as a judge.
Oh.
But then I didn't want to commit you on air. But it sounds like you just committed yourself. So
yeah.
I'll have to let him know.
I'll be there. I'll be there anyway. No matter what. I'll be just lurking.
I mean, that's the best.
Yeah, and it really is.
And like I said, I love that. I mean, I think we need, as they said, more of that in wine, just a place where you can go and just be silly, frankly, and enjoy good wine.
Well, and next generation, too, like coming back to Sonoma to run things and bringing people from other parts of the country. It's great to have that perspective in the wine industry.
Yeah.
Make it more fun.
I just want to see all the dogs dressed up in costumes.
I'll be sending you pictures if you're not there.
If I'm not there, I might have to go there.
Be like, and this one is in second place, and this one.
We don't know where it left the parade, and we can't find it.
Yeah, so it's in the ghost town now.
It's in the ghost town.
Somebody go get Louie. He's in the ghost town.
He's in the middle of the vineyard somewhere.
Eating grapes.
Oh, man.
Eating $1,000 worth of grapes.
Don't do that. Yeah.
All right, so what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of celebrating their family heritage. So I was looking, you know, I like blends. So this is, I think I'm going to do for my Tuesday night wine, the 2021 Larson Family. So their Larson Family, their estate label winery, Meritage. And it has Cabernet Sauvignon in it, some Malbec from Kenwood, and some Merlot. And it's just a Bordeaux blend. So love that. Seems like a good Tuesday night wine.
I see.
You do not approve?
No, I do.
Well, I was like, that sounded like a very judgy. I don't know about that.
I'm practicing for the dog contest.
Oh, you're like next. Yeah. Okay, no.
No, I.
Sounds awesome.
It sounds
are you
amazing,
do?
And I can't wait to drink it with you.
Yes.
And I'll bring the 2024 Albarino Sonoma Coast.
Nice.
From Larson Family. He mentioned it. Hayden mentioned it a couple times. And, you know, it's something you don't find a lot of. There's a little bit of it growing in Carneros, where I think it does really well. And it's a fun white.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
With some texture.
I love it. So we're going to do both of those.
Goes well with dogs.
It goes well. Don't they both go well with dogs?
They do.
I feel like all their wines would go well
with
dogs.
Needless to say, 3 Lab Cab. Everybody should have that.
At least a couple
bottles at home at all times.
I'm wondering if I can have a 3 Cab cat. Want at some point.
What I really want to see is a cat costume contest.
Yes.
Talk about
never getting cats lined up for a parade.
I think maybe you should start that, though. The Sonoma County Wine Growers should sponsor the cat costume parade.
Because people don't think I'm crazy enough.
No, I think it's on brand.
It's totally on brand. We should definitely do that. Oh, my gosh. Well, So much fun. Pets are so much fun.
Okay. Well, people should go visit. Sounds like it's a great place to be. LarsonFamilyWinery.com. Instagram at LarsonFamilyWinery.com.
And their motto, we drink what we can and sell the rest. So I think
so you hope you don't drink. You hope they don't drink at all.
Right. Save some for us.
I mean, most wineries probably drink what they can and sell the rest. But I like that that's their official motto.
The official motto. All right.
Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.